to an auction. You like to go to auctions. Anybody like to go to auctions? I enjoy auctions. I don't often buy too much at auctions, but I enjoy auctions. I remember a time when I was a boy, probably just in my teens yet. My mom and dad went to an auction in the local area around our house there, and there was a coffee table, a real ornate coffee table with a glass top in it that my mother was interested in. And so she wanted my dad to bid on that coffee table. And those of you who are at an auction, you know most often when you get there, they sign you up with a number, you know, so that you, when you're bidding, you hold up your number and so forth. Well, they had agreed on going up to a certain price on this, and that's, they wouldn't go any further. So my dad had bid, and they were going up, and we got to the top price, and he was outbid. Well, then bidding fever took over on my mom. She grabbed the number and started going. And I think that was the most extravagant coffee table I ever remember my mother ever buying. And the bidding fever got a hold of her, and she couldn't stop. She just kept bidding until she got that table. You know, she was determined to get that table. Well, that kind of happened to me Friday night, too. This whole purpose of the banquet at the camp on Friday night was to raise some funding for what they call the Camper Scholarship Program, where they help some children who don't have the resources to be able to come to camp. They can raise the funding and do that. And their goal was to raise, of course, several hundred dollars and even on into the thousands of dollars to help kids come to camp. Well, part of the evening, as well as paying for the meal, but part of the evening also, they have this auction. In the past years, they had a silent auction where you would just put a price on and put it in, and nobody would know what was being bid. But they did it different this year. They had a vocal auction going on with about 25 different items, and most of the things were craft items that somebody in one of the churches had made and then given to the camp so they could auction it off and so forth. Well, bidding fever got a hold of me the other night. Come and see the wonderful wall plaque that I paid $100 for the other night that now is at our home there. And my wife wanted it, so I got it. It was in my blood. I blame my mother for that. I blame my mother, so. Take your bulletin again, if you would, please, or a scrap piece of paper. I'm going to give you a little Christmas quiz this morning, just a little Christmas quiz. We're starting our Christmas messages today, and I want to give you a little Christmas quiz. Think carefully on the Christmas quiz, all right? I'm not trying to trick you, but you have to listen to the questions. All right, question number one. There are six questions, is all that this, so you can put, and the answers will be true or false. Okay, so just a T or an F. And like any good teacher, the whole question has to be true. If any portion of the question is not true, then the question is false. All right, so it has to be all true or false. Question number one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the birth of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the birth of Christ. True or false? Number two, the name Emmanuel means God loves us. True or false? Don't give the answers now. This is not an open book quiz here or anything. All right, Number three, the angel Gabriel appeared at different times to Mary and Joseph to tell them about the birth of Jesus. The angel Gabriel appeared at different times to Mary and Joseph to tell them about the birth of Jesus. True or false? Number four, three magi from the Orient visited Jesus in the stable where he was born. True or false? Number five, since they only had one donkey between them as they journeyed from Nazareth, Joseph walked so Mary could ride the donkey. True or false? Number six, the innkeeper was a cruel man who turned Mary and Joseph away in an angry fashion. True or false? Now, we are getting our answers from the gospel writers and not from tradition. All right. Question number one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the birth of Christ. True or false? False. Mark doesn't mention anything about the birth of Christ. Matthew and Luke do, but not Mark. Number two, the name Emmanuel means God loves us. All right, we had an answer back there. Did y'all hear his answer? He was right. It's false, all right. It means God with us. We just sang about that, all right. And then number three, the angel Gabriel appeared at different times to Mary and Joseph to tell them about the birth of Jesus. All right. I am calling it false because we do know Gabriel appeared to Mary, but we don't. It was an unnamed angel that appeared to Joseph. There was no named angel. Now, probably it could have been Gabriel, but we don't know that for sure biblically. All right. So I'll give you a half point on that one, all right? The three magi from the Orient visited Jesus in the stable where he was born. False. That's false for a whole bunch of reasons. Scripture doesn't even mention three, so it was probably a lot more. Were they from the Orient? No, they were from the East. It doesn't say Orient. Where do we get Orient from? Our song, We Three Kings of Orient Are. All right. And was it the stable? No, they came to the house where he was, the scripture says. So that was false for a whole bunch of reasons. Number five, since they only had one donkey between them as they journeyed from Nazareth, Joseph walked so Mary could ride the donkey. Yeah, that's false from the standpoint of scripture. It never mentions a donkey. Not once in the scripture narrative is a donkey ever mentioned. Number six, the innkeeper was a cruel man who turned Mary and Joseph away in an angry fashion. That's false. Why? Yeah, well, in reality, there is never an innkeeper mentioned in the Bible. You can't find an innkeeper even mentioned in any of the narratives. So what does this little tiny quiz demonstrate to us? We have a lot of traditions, don't we, at Christmas that we kind of have learned to kind of accept and put in the narrative that aren't really in the narrative. We've added a few things. Now, I'm not saying thinking that a donkey was involved is necessarily anti-biblical, but it's certainly not actual from Scripture. There's no reason to think they couldn't have ridden on a donkey. But there's no reason to think that they did ride on a donkey either. So we have to be careful about what we allow. Now, if we were again this morning going to study Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, read through all of them, this is the wonderful thing. You would find in those four chapters, 2 in Matthew, 2 in Luke, you would find a title or a name for Jesus Christ, 13 different titles or names for Jesus in those four chapters. 13 different titles or names. He is called, of course, Jesus. He is called Savior. He is called King of the Jews. He is called the Horn of Salvation. He is called Christ. He is called the Lord. He is called a Governor. He is called the Son of God. He is called the Son of the Highest. He is called the Son of David. He is called the Son of Abraham. He is called the Nazarene. He is called just the Son. And so 13 different names or titles for Christ. That has great significance because what is the whole narrative about? Christ. He's central. I've had opportunity to speak already with some Christmas themes in chapels and in banquets and other things. And we all are aware that there is a totally secular side to Christmas, and there is a sacred side to Christmas. And what we have to battle constantly in our lives is to not let the secular overshadow the sacred. And that's easy to do, isn't it? We can get so caught up, like I kind of got caught up in bidding the other night, but that wasn't even the half of it. At the same, there were probably about 7 or 8 pastors there the other night, and boy, those pastors got vicious when they were bidding, I'll tell you. And there was a grandfather and a son and a granddaughter, and all three of them were bidding against each other on one occasion. I think the father got it, but I kind of think it's going to find its way under the Christmas tree for the daughter later, you know. So anyway, but it was all for a good cause, helping kids go to camp. But we have to be careful that we always keep things not even just in balance. I think we always need to make sure the secular takes less place than the, well, here, this hand, the secular going up, with more weight being given, of course, to the sacred and the scriptural. I don't think we as Christians ought to even just balance them out. It ought to be we focus on the sacred. Now, our gatherings and our parties and our rejoicing is appropriate because we have a wonderful Savior and his birth. We can rejoice in that. But it's not about us at Christmas. It's about God and what God is doing. And that's what Christmas is all about. And so during this month, for several messages, I'm going to again try to refocus all of our attention back to what God has been doing, what God is about to do or has done at Christmas time. And let's turn to Luke chapter 2 right now. I may suspend for the next few Sunday nights our study on Daniel and go to some December themes here as well. And so if we don't focus on Daniel for a few Sundays, we'll get back to that after the first of the year. Luke 2. And most of us are so familiar with this passage that as we start to read it, some of us could start quoting along. You know, it's always been a blessing to me to see in Sunday school programs and in some of our academy programs here, and even in our cantatas and so forth that we present, oft times there will be a group of people up front and they will be quoting this passage to us. Isn't it wonderful that children can learn to quote these passages and they will stick with those children for years and years and years to come? Yesterday, it was a blessing to me at the funeral service as I began to read certain passages of Scripture. I don't know why my eye caught, but there was a lady and a man sitting in front of me that when I was reading and giving Psalm 23, but they were quoting it right along with me. And another, when I was giving some other scriptures, they were quoting right along with me. What a blessing that you have the Word of God in your hearts. And so if we get to a point where you can quote along with us, say it quietly to yourself, but quote along with us here. And so chapter, let's start with verse 8. Verse 8, Luke 2, 8. You follow along as I read. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. As I mentioned, we're going to kind of focus in for the next several weeks during this month on the significance of Christmas, the significant side of Christmas, the spiritual and sacred side of Christmas, and we're going to be looking at some of God's actions during these next few weeks. Now, some of you who take notes and write them in your Bibles, you'll probably find some notes that I have given in the past if you've had the same Bible for a number of years, because I'm going to repeat some things that I've given before. But do you know what God was doing here? Here's what God was doing. He was announcing. He was announcing this huge announcement. When you had a child, I'm talking about the mothers and fathers here. When you had a child, how many of you sent out a birth announcement of any kind? Did anybody send out a birth announcement? I am not sure, but probably if we looked at our children's scrapbooks, their baby books and so forth, we would probably find a birth announcement, because I'm pretty sure my wife kept those and put them in the book. How do people put out announcements today? Yeah, Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of things. So this was the early Twitter going on here. And it was twittering by fluttering angels, okay? They were twittering, okay? And so these angels were making an announcement, but it was God's announcement. It was an announcement from heaven. And these angels were the ones who were taking care of this. But this was not a birth announcement. You know what this really was? This was a death announcement. Because what were they saying? I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for unto you is born a Savior. They were already reminding them that not only was this a special birth, but there was a special purpose in this birth. I've read the words before, and I'll probably read them again sometime during this month, but there's a song that always lingers in my heart that when I was in college, our madrigal and handbell choir that I was a part of would sing this song. Usually it was just a ladies group within our choir that would sing this song, but it was the song, Do You Worship the Babe in the Manger But Reject the Christ of the Cross? Tremendous song to point people to the fact that you can't just worship a babe. You've got to worship that Christ who died on the cross. And so this is more than just a birth announcement, this is also a death announcement, because he was born to die. This is not just announcing a babe in a manger, but it's announcing a Savior on a cross. We know that the birth was all just a prelude to the death, and the manger was just a road to the cross. And so as we think about Christ's significant act of announcing today, he's announcing And this announcement had several different carriers, didn't it? We've just read about some of the carriers. Who were the carriers here in this passage? Angels. And yes, Gabriel was one of the carriers making the announcement to Mary. Probably the same carrier made the announcement to Joseph, but Scripture doesn't tell us that. But so we have the angels, and we have not only Gabriel, but we have this multitude of the heavenly hosts. And so many, many angels. I don't know how many were in that multitude of heavenly hosts, but, you know, I probably in my heart believe that it was every angel that could come. I mean, boy, there. It's hard to imagine, but the sky's filled with angels. And then we already know, although it's not the purpose of this study this morning, but we also know that in centuries before this time, there were carriers of this announcement called prophets. And these prophets would carry the announcement out. And they would tell about the one who was going to come. And they would tell about even where he would be born. And they would tell about what his purpose would do be, and how he would, Isaiah says, be wounded for our transgressions. And so we have all kinds of prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and others who foretold the coming. Even Moses, when he spoke in Genesis that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So we have all of these prophets who were carriers of the announcement. And we have the angels who were carriers of the announcement. And we have a star that in a sense was responsible for announcing. The very heavens were announcing. And we see this star announcing. They have seen his star in the east and had come to worship him. And so this special announcing star. We see the New Testament writers announcing the birth. Matthew and Luke and even John to an extent, when it talks about he was dwelling amongst us, we beheld his glory. We have the shepherds. We just read about it. What did the shepherds do after they heard the announcement from the angels, went and saw the baby? Then what did they do? They started announcing it. They started making the announcement to all that they came and to them concerning the word here, known abroad, the saying which was told them concerning this child. We have a priest named Simeon, an old priest, to start announcing. We have an elderly woman named Anna, and the Holy Spirit was announcing to many that the Son had come. And guess what? We have a job today. What is our job? To follow the pattern of the prophets and the angels and the writers and the shepherds and the star and the, and what are we supposed to do? Continue announcing. Just consider those carriers of the announcement. Let's consider some of the places where the announcement took place. Where was Jesus? Excuse me, where were Mary and Joseph at the time of them receiving the announcement? They were in Nazareth. It's kind of interesting. If you were to go to Nazareth today, I could take you to at least four places where it is claimed that Mary was gathering water when the angel appeared unto her. Four different places. And I have been taken to three of those four places. I've seen them myself, and I haven't reached a conclusion as to which one it is. But Nazareth was the place, and Joseph was in Nazareth, and so we know that Nazareth was a place. We know that some announcements took place in Bethlehem and in the nearby fields of Bethlehem with the shepherds and the angels. We notice that a temple, at the temple there was announcements made. Remember when they brought Jesus to the temple, and what did Anna and Simeon say? Oh, they talked about this one who would bring salvation to the nation. And this one that we have been waiting for. So they were making announcements in the temple. Even way back in times before the birth of Christ, in a wise men's study chamber, as they studied scriptures and studied, I believe it was announced to them that Jesus was going to be born. And at various times, covering a span of hundreds of years, this announcing took place. Well, there's a lot of content to this other than just Jesus is born. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look for a few moments just at some of the content of this announcement. God announcing, Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Back in Luke, and again, I'm going to turn back and forth here for a moment, but you can stay in one or the other place. In Luke chapter 1, and in verses 31 and following, it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So it was announced here that Jesus means Savior, means that one who will redeem. And so from the very, very first announcements made to both Mary and Joseph, it was announced that the purpose of Jesus coming would be that Savior who would save his people from their sins. In the book of Hebrews, we know something else significant about this announcement. This announcement began a certain time period in God's program. How many of you think we're living in the last days? Well, I know we're living in the last days. You know why I know we're living in the last days? Because Hebrews tells us that when Jesus came, that it was God speaking to mankind in these last days. And so, yes, Jesus, his coming, his birth, initiated what we could call the beginning of the last days. Now, these last days have lasted a long time, haven't they? I would like to amend that and say we're living in the last of the last of the last days. But again, I don't know that for certain. I believe that there are signs that show that Christ could come back any time, and I believe that with all my heart. But I'm not trying to predict when he's coming. I hope he comes today. And he could come today. But so the content of this announcement had to do with a Savior, and it had to do with beginning these days called the last days. And the Magi, they were coming to find a what? A king. And so a king usually has what? A kingdom. And so this was Christ coming, initiated what many thought was the beginning of the new kingdom. Now we know that even though Christ is going to be that king, and he has started this whole work. There was an interval in there from the time he came until he would come back to set up his kingdom, and we call that interval the age of grace, or the church age, or the age in which we're living now. And so the kingdom age, as far as the age of the kingdom ruled by Christ, that's kind of been put on hold for a little bit here. But Jesus coming as king, and when he comes back, what do we pray oftentimes when we pray the model prayer, or what some people call the Lord's Prayer? What do we pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so the birth of Christ certainly was initiating his kingdom. And now, how do we know that this announcement that was being made by the shepherds and by the angels and by the wise men and by, they said to Herod, we have seen his star and we've come to worship him. They were announcing even to Herod about this birth. And the prophets, how do we know all of that was credible? Well, it's great to know, isn't it, today, that what God says he means, and he means what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Our God is credible. I may have shared this. When we have what we call the Romans Road, what is one verse that a lot of times we start with in the Romans Road? Well, most Romans Roads start with 3:10. You kind of go through in 3:10. What does 3:10 say? There is none righteous, no, not one. But you know, when I personally start the Romans Road, I start at 3:4. 3:4. I don't start at 3:10. I start at 3:4. You know what 3:4 says? Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And when I'm trying to win someone to Christ and give them the gospel, I tell them, don't you believe something unless I show it to you from the Bible. Don't you believe it just because Pastor Walter said it. Men can lie. Now, I trust I would not purposely lie to somebody when I'm trying to win them to Christ. But what I'm trying to establish is this. Don't believe Pastor Walter. Believe God's word. Yea, let every man be, God is true, but every man's a liar. And so I established the point that God's true. You know how we can believe this message, this announcement? Because God doesn't lie. God's true. This announcement is reliable. And the prophecies that were given 600 years later were fulfilled. And aren't you glad that God was in control of the whole situation? And that God brought salvation through his son, a savior was born, and that God now had personal one-on-one involvement with men because Jesus was here, and that was what? God with us. And we've already looked at some of those constituents of the announcement. Mary, she received the announcement. Joseph, he received the announcement. The shepherds, they received the announcement. The wise men, the nation of Israel. Eventually, the Gentile world received the announcement. When you look at some of that, which Zacharias, his song of praise and some others, and it talks about when he was talking about John the Baptist and then later began talking about Jesus Christ, and he was talking about Christ being a light to the Gentiles and to those that sit in darkness and so forth. So not only was this announcement for Israel, but it was for the Gentile world as well and for the whole world. And who else is involved in being the constituents of receiving this announcement? You and I. We are those who receive the announcement. But there's a little bit of a, not a twist here, but a not only did we receive the announcements, but now what? We're to be those giving the announcement. And That's why it's so important that we have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so that we can be those who can give a wonderful, accurate, life-changing announcement to others, that they too can know this one who came from heaven as the Savior of the world. And if they will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work and have that applied to their own sin, they can be born again, they can be saved, they can have their sins forgiven, washed whiter than snow. So, one of the things that God was doing at Christmas was he was announcing the coming of the Savior who would give his life a ransom for all. Question: have you as an individual personally received that announcement about the Savior and believed and trusted Christ as your personal Savior? And secondly, how obedient are we to carrying that announcement out to others today? Don't forget, I announced it last week, but we have a new set of Christmas tracks out in the track rack in the out here. And so if you would like to pick up some Christmas tracks and use them to help with getting out the announcement the Savior has been born, I would encourage and challenge you to do so and use those tracks for God's glory. I don't know how they came up with this statistic, and I've not questioned the statistic, I just don't know, but I have heard the statistic that on average, 7 individual people average read one gospel tract. Now, I don't know how they arrived at that figure, but let's say only one person reads that gospel tract. Isn't that wonderful? But maybe they'll read it and pass it on to somebody else, and maybe it'll get left on a coffee table in somebody else. I don't know how they arrived at average of 7 people. But even if just 1 or 2 or 3 read it. And I remember one time that when I was in college on a handbell and madrigal and handbell choir tour, we had a bus driver who drove, we rented a bus, and he could only drive us so far. And he was not licensed to go further. He had to turn around and go back. And so we met another bus coming the other direction, and we traded buses with a group of skiers in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. And so they got on our bus, and we got on their bus, and we switched all the luggage, and we took off, and we had a new driver, and the other driver took them. Do you know what we did before we got off our bus? We left a gospel tract on every seat in that whole bus, knowing that this group of skiers would get on the bus and be sitting there for hours waiting and maybe reading the tract. And you know what I pray? I have no idea, but I pray that one day I'll meet somebody in heaven who was on that bus that picked up that tract and read it and trusted Christ as their Savior. And that's possible. So now, as the carriers, let's carry the news and announce that Christ is born. Let's pray. Father, how wonderful to have heard that announcement and to have received that announcement and to have received the one who is being announced. And that one is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that having received him, we would now count it a joy and a privilege to be those who continue announcing salvation in Christ. So help us to be diligent in making those announcements to those that we come in contact with over the next several days and weeks. Father, thank you that you loved us and you gave your Son for us. bless your word to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.